Hallelujah. It's exciting to be here this morning. And I didn't know I was going to be here. Only the Lord knew. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was not even aware I was going to come here. As we sang this morning, is one song that touched me and changed the message that I prepared. I prepared a message strengthened to contain Christ, but after we sang this song, the cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Then I said, wow, I think the Lord is saying I must give them something different. And I want us to turn to our Bibles in the book of John, chapter 20, and verses 1 to 8. Maybe you can put that one on, and that will be the only scripture we'll do that. Maybe we might even spend less than 20, 30 minutes. Maybe we'll go a little further. Maybe we should put that thing on. Matthew 20. Oh, not Matthew, John 20, verses 1 to 8. Okay. Maybe put the King James Version. What version is that? English Standard Version. Okay, maybe. Now, on the first day of the week, put it on. What's happening now? Yeah, KJV. Ah, authorized to be read in churches. That's what it says. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and the sepulchre. And sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Next, then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved, and I'm sure we know who that one was, and says unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Next, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. Next, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, was very fast, and came first to the sepulchre. Next, and he is stooping down and looking in. This was the other one who outran Peter. She's stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. So he didn't go in. Next. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, because he was a slow runner, and went into the sepulchre and sees the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Okay, verse 8. Then he went in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about the folded napkin. The folded napkin. Now, There are many small things that we don't normally see in the Bible. But everything that has been put in the scriptures is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, correction, and rebuking, so that the man of God will be fully furnished, fully taught, you know, rightly dividing the word, you know, for this particular thing. The folded napkin. The Bible says, and after seeing that folded napkin, the Bible says, he believed. What did he believe after seeing this napkin? What do you think he believed? Why was he coming running to the grave? What did they want to see? Because Mary had told them, they have taken away the master. He's not here. They have taken, perhaps they have laid him somewhere else. The folded napkin. Now, I've been wondering what this napkin really is really all about. So I said, why have it in the Bible? A mere towel, a mere piece of cloth that was folded. And when Peter and the rest of the people saw it, the Bible says he believed. In one of the stories concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ met Mary, told them that, you go and tell my disciples, and he says, and Peter. Why my disciples and Peter? Peter was also one of the disciples. But he says, go and tell my disciples and Peter. So looking at this napkin, I was wondering, I was saying, what is happening? Then I began to look at this, the meaning of this. So when I was growing up, my grandma used to speak to us in a certain language, which only us in the family would know. If, for example, somebody has come to ask you for water or for salt or for whatever, if my grandmom will hold the cup this way, then I must check where her fingers, you know, have lined up. Then I know that I must feel it to where the fingers have. She doesn't have to tell me to say, go and put in this cup and fill it halfway. She just has to hold the cup. And then I know it's going to be halfway. So according to the Orient world, when I was checking, it meant that when the master comes to eat at the table, when he's eating at the table, if he eats, and then there's always a towel they use to wipe the water and all that kind of stuff. So if that towel is just wrapped, folded, and a little pieces like that, and put it carelessly, it's not really folded very nicely, then the servant will know that my master has finished with the eating, so I can take the plates and put them away. But if the master folds that piece of cloth nicely, that napkin nicely, then the master, the servant will know that my master is not yet over, he is still coming back. So this is exactly what that napkin was saying to Peter. When he went in the grave and saw this folded napkin, the Bible says he believed. What did he believe? Because it was saying to him that Jesus was saying, Peter, I am not done. I am coming back. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I am coming back. This is the true story. You know, as we come in the presence of the Almighty God, as we come to worship him, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is one day coming. This world is supposed to be preparing itself for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 3, it says, how much love this God has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. And yet he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he comes, we shall see him as he really is, and we shall be like him. And brethren, Jesus Christ is coming. This is our hope of glory. The cross is empty, the tomb is empty, and Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back for his own. But let me tell you, you don't have just to wait, you know, without expectation. We must get ready. We must be ready to make sure that our light keeps on burning. Because the hour, no man knows. No one knows the time. Not even the sun knows the time. And this is one of the things that I always wondered. I said, how can Jesus be God, and yet he does not know when he's coming? And again, I learned it from my Jewish friend. I said, my friend, tell me, what is the problem? He said, you know, when Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back, and then he also says, when they say, when are you coming back? He says, no, of that day, no one knows, not even the Son, only the Father. Then I asked my Jewish friend, I said, what does that really mean? So I learned that when a Jewish young man, I'm starting to be corrected, when a Jewish young man wants to get married, the father will tell them, go and prepare, you know, the house to bring in your girl so that, so the father will keep on coming to inspect the building. Says, yeah, you have not done very well here. I think you must put in new sofas here. You must put things at the kitchen is all right, everything. And then when the father is satisfied, without warning, just tell the young man, go and get your wife today, without him being ready. That's what I was told by a Jewish friend of mine. And usually, that coming to take the wife, it is just like snatching the woman. They will just snatch the woman and take away without warning. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming without warning, and we will be snatched away. That is what is going to happen. Jesus is preparing his bride, and one of these days, he is coming to take us home. And when Peter saw the folded napkin, he looked at it, he said, this is it. He is coming back for me. And he believed because Jesus had told him, with the symbolic language that he was going to come back. Brothers and sisters, it's not just good to just jump and sing without knowing that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. You really need to know that Jesus is in your heart. John says, little children, I'm writing you these things, that he that has Jesus has life. And I write you who believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, eternal life is a free gift. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to do calculations. It is just given freely. Most of our people today, they keep on troubling themselves. Maybe I must do certain things in order to please God. There is nothing you have to do in order to please God. There is nothing you have to do in order to get saved. It's just believe. Once you believe, then you have eternal life. And the devil sometimes uses your thinking, your mind. The battlefield is in your head. And that's why the Bible says, our war is not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing these minds captive to making them obey Jesus Christ. When your head obeys Christ, when your thinking and your heart aligns with the word of God, you will have whatsoever you say. The Bible says, Jesus is coming. And this is the most exciting thing that we must be expecting every day. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have Jesus, you can be dancing and dancing your way to hell. But if you have Jesus, you have every reason to celebrate. You have every reason to celebrate. Jesus is coming. I remember when I got saved in 1976, it was in the evening. I was in the school, you know, a college. I was doing my teacher training at that time. So this missionary brought some film. I was very stubborn in school. I was very stubborn in the college. I was a teacher of English, and so we were saying that we were going to learn English. In fact, with my friends, we used to say, we'll learn English which will contain no is and and. So we always wanted to speak very big words, bombastic words, you know, maledictive, grandiloquence, those big words. So I'd gone to the lecture theater, and then trying to see if I could cause problems there. But there was nobody who paid attention to my causing problems there. So I came to the hall where the film was being shown. And that film was brought by one of the missionaries. And Billy Graham was preaching. And he was preaching on a message which I entitled, "If a man lives, shall he live again? If a man dies, shall he live again?" This was from Job 14, verse 14. And of course, the title of that film was actually "The Bridge Over Troubled Waters." That's how I came to learn later on. So for the first time, I realized that I needed Jesus. And that was the same night I received the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about Jesus Christ coming back. We're talking about Jesus Christ one day coming to take his church. But to me, it never made any sense until that night. And so when I received Jesus Christ, the hall was filled with students. Over 400 students were in that hall. But only two people responded to the altar call. And that was myself and another friend of mine. The rest of the students went away. When I went to my room, I started crying. And then my roommate came and says, "No, what? What's the problem? Why are you crying?" "Have you received a funeral? Has somebody passed away?" I said, "No. My sins have passed away. My sins have passed away." And I was very excited. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And we must get ready. We must prepare our hearts for the indwelling of Jesus Christ. It's just not good to just get excited in the church, to just get excited by singing, to just get excited singing and jumping around. Peter saw it, and he knew that Jesus was coming back. And he believed. What will you do with him today? Shall we stand to our feet? Let's pray together. Hallelujah.